Buenos días. Please stand for of the reading of the word. We're going to read the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 31 through 34. I'm going to read this in Spanish first. So, we ready? No os angustiéis, pues diciendo, ¿qué comeremos, o qué beberemos, o qué vestiremos? Porque los gentiles se angustian por todas estas cosas. Pero vuestro Padre Celestial sabe que tenéis necesidad de todas ellas. Buscad primeramente el reino de Dios y su justicia, y todas estas cosas os serán añadidas. Así que no os angustiéis por el día de mañana, porque el día de mañana traerá su propia preocupación. Basta a cada día su propio mal. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day it is on travel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Tony, for reading the scriptures. Go ahead and grab a seat. Tony Dunez, his family, man, they are instrumental in our Spanish ministry, our translation. And so, man, I love their family and thankful for our Hispanic ministry, what's going on here in that regard and what God's doing. And man, I am glad you're here today. It's the very first Sunday of the brand new year. Thank you for saying, man, I'm getting up and I'm going to church. And I hope that this starts something that, man, radically changes your life. That's what we're going to talk about today, actually. If you're a sports fan like me, then you've heard of Yogi Berra. He's arguably the most famous catcher in New York Yankees history. They've had a lot of famous players, but he's arguably the most famous catcher in New York Yankees history. And if you know Yogi Berra, you know that his trademark, the thing that he's known for, is his ceaseless chatter. Man, he continually talked to every batter that came up to try to distract him from his work. And one day they were playing the Milwaukee Braves in the World Series, and Hank Aaron played for the Braves. He stepped up to the plate, and Yogi Berra was doing his thing. And Yogi said, Henry, you're holding the bat wrong. You need to hold it where you can read the trademark. And Aaron didn't say a word. He just stood there. Next pitch came right down the middle. He sent it into the left field bleachers. And as he rounded the bases, when he touched home plate, he looked at Yogi Berra and he said, Yogi, I didn't come up here to read. And listen, that is exactly what I want to talk to you about today. When Hank Aaron stepped to the plate, he knew exactly why he was there. He knew exactly why he was there, and that brought a lot of clarity to what he was doing. You know, most people do not step into the batter's box of life that way, do they? I mean, most people step in, and they really have no clue why they're there, and you got a 90-mile-per-hour fastball heading for your head or a wicked curveball coming at you, and man, you're thinking, what in the world am I doing here? And you begin to chase pitches that were never meant for you to swing at. And so then you get frustrated, and that is exactly what I want to talk to you about today, right? I mean, we're at the start of a new year, and typically at the start of a new year, most of us hit pause, and we do a little audit of our lives, and we begin to say, where am I, and where am I going? And then if we really want to change where we're going, that's what we do with resolutions. We make resolutions to help us get there. But the problem is, resolutions, they deal more with our habits, not our heart, right? I mean, for instance, we say, man, I need to lose weight. I need to exercise more. I need to eat less. I need to stop smoking. All of these things that are habits. I need to put banana pudding in a mayonnaise jar and eat it in public. Stop following the Kardashians. Whatever you want to do that's a habit. The problem is those typically fall flat because they are based on our discipline. When it's a habit, it's based on our discipline. And let's be honest, man, I love lifting my fork a lot more than I love lifting weights, right? I mean, I love running for the fridge, but I hate running for my health. And so that's why resolutions typically fall flat, because they deal with the surface, but they don't touch our soul. And so Jesus offers us something different than resolutions. He offers us something deeper than resolutions. He didn't offer us resolutions. He offers us a new direction. And that's what we're going to look at today in Matthew chapter 6 that Tony just read. That's what Jesus is doing. He's giving us a new direction that can radically change our life. And he says, if we really want to change our life, it's not changing what you eat. It's in changing what you chase. Okay? And so that's what he says in Matthew 6:33. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and all these things and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. Now, in this passage, we see two things that I want to talk about. We see a command and we see a promise. It's very simple. I'm going to break it down very simple, a command and a promise. And so let's look at the command. Here's the command. What's the command we see? The command is seek first the kingdom of God. That's the command. You're commanded to seek first the kingdom of God. Now, this is an incredible memory verse, isn't it? I mean, if you don't have this verse memorized, it would be great for you in the beginning of a brand new year. Say, I'm going to start memorizing some verses. I'm going to start right here. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Memorize that verse. But here's the thing. When you know the context of a verse, you get the most out of that verse. And so let me talk about the context of this for just a moment, give you the details around what's going on so you know where it is, when Jesus said it, who he's talking to, why he said it, all that stuff. He is giving the most famous sermon ever preached. It's the Sermon on the Mount. And right in the middle of that, in chapter 6, the end of the chapter, the second half of the chapter, he is discussing anxiety and worry, something that we're all really well acquainted with, anxiety and worry. And as he's discussing anxiety and worry, he's talking to a group of Jews who know what it's like to be anxious and to have lives full of worry. They live under constant economic pressure and stress, constant political pressure and stress. I mean, here was a group of Jews that were farmers and they were day laborers. And being a day laborer, if nobody hired you in the morning, you didn't eat at night. If you were a farmer, then that meant a drought could come in. And if a drought come in, that means your annual salary could be gone. Your year's supply of groceries could be gone. These Jews didn't stand in front of a pantry like we do, full of options, and as your kids declare, we don't have anything to eat in this house. Or stand in front of your walk-in closet with all these options and really say, man, I don't have anything to wear. They had no food, and they really just wore what they wore yesterday, right? I mean, here was a group of people that had no savings, they had no health care, they had no antibiotics. They had no internet. Their lives were full of chronic pain and chronic illness, and they had a high infant mortality rate. They paid 30 to 50% taxes, and it kept getting more and more depending on who the new leader, Roman leader was, and it was 30 to 50% taxes, and if they didn't pay the taxes, then they would lose their land, or they would be forced to offer themselves in indentured servanthood. They would become a slave in order to pay off their taxes. I mean, folks, these people knew what stress was. I mean, they sort of had it for breakfast every day. They were full of revolts. You can imagine in that kind of a political landscape, their lives were full of revolts and upheaval and violence, and they couldn't take the edge off by binging Netflix and social media like we do, right? And so their pressures were different, but folks, the human heart hasn't changed, has it? I mean, the human heart hasn't changed. We're not waking up literally running for our physical lives, trying to survive physically necessarily, but we are trying to survive emotionally. We are trying to survive psychologically. We've got so many things that absolutely distract us and so much anxiety and so much stress in our lives. I mean, will our kids be able to afford a home? That's a good question. That's what we worry about. I worry about will my grandkids be able to buy a home? Will they get eaten alive? Will they survive all of the culture wars that we live in? Will they inherit a world of instability? Will we, all the political and financial instability, will we survive the cultural wars? Will we inherit that world? What's the world going to be like? We have so much anxiety. Anxiety is now a global issue. And you know who it affects more than anyone, according to stats and research? the younger generation. Our younger generations are more anxious than ever. They're full of stress and anxiety. And folks, there are some legit neurochemical reasons for anxiety and for meds for anxiety. We know that now, right? There are some legit reasons, but for most of us, anxiety is caused by the things that we chase. We're chasing the wrong things, and the answer to our anxiety is to begin chasing the right thing. That's exactly what Matthew 6:33 is all about. He's speaking to people who literally wake up every morning running for their lives, and they know that tonight I'm going to lay down, but the question is, I don't know if I'm going to be laying in my bed or in a casket. And he tells these people that have that level of stress, hey, rather than worry, rather than be anxious, here's what I want you to do. Seek first the kingdom of God. And folks, he's not being trite. He's not trivializing their issues by saying, oh, just don't worry, be happy. That's not what he's doing. He is trying to change their perspective to help them to understand why they're in the batter's box of life to begin with. When that fastball is coming at your head at 90 miles per hour and that wicked curve is thrown at you, he's trying to help them to understand why they're there to begin with. So let me break a couple of these words down to give you an idea of what he means. The Greek word that he uses for seek is a word that it doesn't mean glance. It doesn't mean, you know, just casually search. You know, like, man, I'm looking for a Twinkie somewhere. It's like, man, anything to eat around here? It's not you're casually searching for something. It means that you are searching. And it's the aim of your life. It means that you're chasing something. It means that that's all that's on your mind. It means that it consumes you. That's the word seek here. It's sort of like there's a difference in seeking, right, and chasing and glancing. I mean, it's like if you've got a child, then if you've got children, then at some point in your life, if your children are, 10, 12 years old at least, then at some point in your life, you've lost them somewhere, haven't you? I mean, I know you've tried to lose them, but sometimes you've succeeded. I mean, man, you've been somewhere and you look down and you're like, where's my kid? I don't know where my kid is. It happened to Amy and I when we were in Amsterdam, and I've got so many kids, and we were in Amsterdam, and man, we were looking and we were having a good time, and my second set, I keep starting over, and my second set, my Jaden, Allie, Kate, and Isaiah, they were probably 8 to 10 years old, somewhere in that range. And man, it was crowded in the middle of downtown Amsterdam, getting ready to get on a metro to go out to Harlem and to see Corrie ten Boom House. And man, it was great. And so we were looking at a map, looking down, and I looked down, and there was two kids there, and Allie, Kate wasn't there. Now, my first instinct was like, okay, we've lost one. Let's get on the train quick before she finds us. But no, that wasn't it. I'm kidding. What do you do when it happens, parents? I mean, do you say, well, Allie Kate's gone. I tell you what, let's go get something to eat, and we'll come back and find her later. That's not what you do. You don't just casually look around and say, well, y'all see her anywhere? Nah, let's walk off and see this. Maybe we'll find her. No, you don't casually search. That becomes your sole focus. The only thing you're worried about is finding your kid. Man, you begin to scream. You begin to shout. You're running this way. You're sending people out there. You're not doing anything until you find that kid. That's the word Jesus uses right here when he says seek first the kingdom of God. It means that that's the only thing that consumes you. It drives your life. All of your decisions are made. Everything else is secondary. Everything else is subservient to seeking first the kingdom of God, right? Then what's the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God's not talking about heaven. It's not a geographical place. That's not what he's talking about. The kingdom of God is referring to the rule and the reign of God. It's what Jesus prays in the Lord's Prayer when he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's teaching us to pray for God's rule and God's will and God's reign here on earth now. Not just when we get to heaven one day, but right now. Let God's rule and reign be here. And so that's what he's telling us to seek. He's telling us that God's will, that should God's will should be more important to us than our will. He says that, man, what you should seek every day is the will of God in your life. What you should seek every day, the drive of your life should be that your finances are submitted to the will of God, and God's rule and reign dictates how you spend all of your money and what you do with your money. That your marriage, man, the will of God, his rule and his reign should dictate your marriage. Think about it. If God's will is dictating your marriage, that means my will's not. So that means, man, I'm not looking at my marriage as something that makes me happy, something that's there to serve me. I'm looking at my marriage as, man, this thing's got to give God glory and honor. Completely changes how I deal with my wife and how my wife deals with me. Completely changes my money, man, how I parent, my career. Rather than look at my job saying, man, I got to chase the buck. Man, they're offering me more money here, I jump to here. Man, I got a job opportunity in Alabama. And you ain't going to Alabama, I know that. But I got a job opportunity. That's an immediate no. Whose will's God? Well, God did send Jonah to Nineveh. He might send you to Alabama. I'm kidding. They're not near as bad now that they don't win as much. But I'm kidding. Anyway, I'm just joking. You know, we didn't win either, but I'm just joking. So God might send you somewhere, you know, and your first thoughts, I got this job opportunity in, you name the state, okay? College football season's about over, so. And first thing I thought, most people think is how much is the money? Can I live? It's like, no, that's not even a thought that should cross your mind at the first. Sure, you gotta have money to live, but the thought is, God, how does this fit in your will? Is this your will for me to go? It's less money here, God, but you want me here? Okay. You see, God's will is what drives your decisions, not the dollar, not, you know, the career, not climbing that ladder. God may have you to go there, you know, and the dollar and the ladder, may y'all be a part of it. But he might have you stay here for a lower rung on the ladder for less money. That means I'm seeking first God's kingdom, because you can't buy what you got here. I want you to understand, I've seen so many people move away and they tell me, man, I'm just telling you, I wish I'd have never moved away because I took more money, but I can't buy what I had right there. I can't buy the church, I can't buy the community, I can't buy that. And so that's seek God and his kingdom, his rule in your finances, in your career, in your marriage, in your parenting, in everything. Seek God's kingdom first. Seek God's kingdom above everything. Now, I wanted to name these points. I wanted to say, you know what? This is the priority and the promise. That sort of rolls off your tongue, doesn't it? I mean, it's alliterate. They both start with P. I mean, that's good preaching right there, you know? I mean, the priority and the promise. I wanted to name it that, but I couldn't, I, you know, because my spirit, God's spirit within me, I don't think would let me, because I didn't want you to teach that the priority meant that, well, God's a priority. I didn't want you to walk away with that. Because I said priority, because it says seek first, you'd think, okay, the priorities. Because that's what we do in our country, right? I mean, man, we're America. We're America, you know? And if you're America, it's God and it's family and it's country. If you love country music, it's God and it's family and it's country, right? And so that's great. And it's God, it's family, and there's a lot of things that could come third. But man, you know what happens when God is one of your priorities? Here's what happens. When God is first and my marriage, which is part of my family, is second, and my marriage is struggling, what moves to the front? My marriage, because that's what my focus is. When God is first and my children, my family is second, which means part of my children, and my children are struck, what moves to the top? Man, my kids. When God is first, but man, I'm having financial struggles, what bumps God out of? You see, that's what happens to your priority list. Your priorities, we have these lists that are under ideals, but really they jump around, right? So here's the deal. God shouldn't be your priority, folks. God should not be your priority. And you say, hold on, what? That's a preacher saying God shouldn't be your priority. No, God is not a priority. God sets your priorities. God is not in your orbit. He is the sun that everything that your life orbits around. He orders the orbit. He orders all of the priorities, right? Because if God is your standard, if God is what you chase more than anything, then all your priorities then begin to flow out of God, okay? So I hope what I'm saying is making sense. And so that's why I didn't name this the priority, because I didn't want you to think, well, God's the priority. No, God is the standard. God is the sun that all the planets orbit around. He's what sets your priorities. Seek first the kingdom of God. Does that dictate your life? If it doesn't, if that's not what you're seeking, if that's not what you're doing, if God and his kingdom is not the aim of your life, then you're in the batter's box and you're chasing pitches that you weren't meant to swing at. And you're going to strike out, you're going to foul out. Man, you're going to hit some grounders and you're going to get thrown out at first base. And every now and then you're going to hit a double and you're going to think you're something. But then you're going to strike out the next time at bat and you're going to be more frustrated because you have zero clue why I'm in the batter's box, especially when that 90 mile per hour fastball beams you in the head. And it's going to come, and I promise. Man, I've been hit by them, and you have too, and I'm going to be hit by more than you are too because we live in a broken world. So are you seeking first the kingdom of God? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God? Now, that's the command. That's the command. Now, let's look at the promise, because you see, God doesn't give a command and leave us hanging. No, he gives us a breathtaking promise with that command. What's that promise? Well, the command is seek first the kingdom of God. Now, what's the promise with that command? The promise is, and all these things will be added to you. Woo, boy, that sounds great, doesn't it? But I'm going to pull the rug out from under you a little bit, because that's not a health, wealth, blank check, okay? That's not a health, wealth, blank check. That doesn't mean, man, if I pray and have my quiet time in the morning, I go to church and seek the Lord, then he's going to give me that Lambo that I really want. You know, he's going to give me, that's not what that means. It's not a health, wealth, blank check. Right? What that means is this. It simply means that when God is the aim of our life, when we understand that, and when his will and his rule and his reign is the thing that I'm seeking and I'm submitting my life to that, then God is going to take care of all of your needs and all of your necessities. That's what that means. There's a promise that God is going to take care of everything you need. Now, the problem is we get our needs and wants messed up sometimes, but that's the promise that God is going to take care of everything you need. Now, I've got one of my good friends. His name's H.B. Charles. H.B. is a, go out and listen to him, man. He's great. He's a black preacher, and, man, he is just one of my favorite black preachers. Obviously, he's a friend, but here's what H.B. Charles says about this. Now, I can't say it like a black preacher, all right? But if you could imagine, you know, a good black preacher saying like this, here's what he says about this verse. He says, this verse is God's affirmative action. It's God's bailout plan. It's God's faith-based initiative. It's God's social security. It's God's stimulus package. Man, that's good stuff, isn't it? That's what he's saying about this passage is God is promising. You make me your priority and I'll take care of your necessities. You make me everything. You seek me with everything in your life, I'll take care of all of your needs. That's what he's saying. In verse 32, God says, in verse 32 it says, he knows all of your needs. Our Heavenly Father knows your needs. He's not aloof. You know when you struggle with your finances? You know when you're trying to figure out if you've got enough money to go to the end of the month or if you've got more month than money? Here's what God's doing. God's not sitting in front going, really? I didn't know that. God knows exactly the stress of your finances. You're single, man, you're not married, you want a husband bad, you want a wife bad, you're lonely. God's not aloof going, really, I didn't see you down there, man. I'm going to have to get to work on that for you. No, God knows exactly where you are. He knows the stress of your loneliness, the depression you're dealing with. God knows that. Man, the thing that you're most worried about right now, God knows all of that. God is absolutely aware, not only aware, he is involved in all of your life, and he knows your needs. That's what it says in verse 32. He knows all your needs. Verse 26, it says, look how God takes care of the birds and the lilies. I mean, that's a great example. The birds and lilies. You know, birds and lilies, flowers, they're pretty much, I mean, they're beautiful, and man, I love lilies and I guess birds and whatever. I don't think about it much, but I love them. And you know, I mean, they're great, but they're pretty much insignificant compared to us, aren't they? I mean, think about a bird. You think about birds. I mean, birds live and die in between. They eat worms and fly in the window, right? I mean, and use the bathroom on your head sometimes. I mean, that's pretty insignificant compared to us, yet God takes care of them. God takes care of the birds. And if he takes care of the birds, even though they're insignificant, how much more is God going to take care of you and provide for you? This is mind-boggling, really. If you think about how mind-boggling this is, God himself, the God of the universe, has basically just taken total responsibility for your needs. Is that not amazing? That the God of the universe has taken total responsibility for all of your needs. That's what he's done here. He basically says, you take care of my agenda and I'll take care of your necessities. You take care of my mission, I'll take care of your needs. He's taking responsibility for all of your needs. It's like a child. Now think about when you were a child. When you were a child, some children around the world, this is not the case. But in your life, this was probably the case. When I was a child, I woke up. Both my parents, you know, I live with my parents, and I woke up, and I did not wake up thinking about, man, what am I going to eat today? Am I going to have food? I didn't wake up thinking, what really am I going to wear today, or am I going to be warm today? I didn't wake up thinking about any of that. Why? Man, because my daddy provided, and he protected, right? I mean, he provided. He made sure there was food. He made sure there was clothing. He made sure that there was heat. For the house and air conditioner. He made sure that there, we didn't have air conditioner, but he made sure, well, we did. We had one of those window units, if you remember those. We made sure that he made sure I had all the necessities. He made sure I was taken care of. So as a kid, that was never really crossed my mind. Do you remember how good life was then? Man, when you didn't have to wake up going, oh, man, I gotta get out and hit the road, man. I got to grind because you remember when you didn't wake up worrying about it? That's what this passage is about. Or it's like someone in the military. You know, man, I look back and it was great because on camera two in the first service was one of our guys named Travis Jackson. Now, Travis has been in the Navy for 13 years. He's still in the Navy. He's on break right now. He's been on many, many tours of duty, and he's on the USS Nimitz, and he is here on break for just a little bit. And what do? He comes to church and says, hey, I want to run a camera. Isn't that awesome? I mean, and so Travis, he's in the Navy, and what does Travis do? You know what Travis does? Travis doesn't get up in the morning worried about his food or clothes or shelter. You know why? Because the government takes care of that, but for all the military. Why? Man, he gets up, he knows what he's going to wear today. He gets up and he's got food. He just goes down to the mess hall, right? He goes down to the cafeteria, he eats the food. Man, he's got, you know, heat and AC on the ship. I mean, man, his head's covered. He's got shelter. He's got all of those things. Why does the government do that? They do that so that Travis and every soldier, their only concern is one thing, obeying orders. That's his only concern, obeying orders. That, you know, that's what God says. God said, I'll take care of all those needs, so you only really have to worry about one thing, obeying orders, chasing after me. And that's, guess what? And you think, man, God's taking our life so I can obey him. And our first thing is, and God says, that's where life's sweet. You see, it's when we chase other things that our life gets way out of whack. If you chase this one thing right here in 2026, I'll promise you, 1 year from today, we'll come back very first Sunday of January in 2027, and here's what you're going to do. I'll promise you this. You're not going to tell me life was easy this year. That's not what you're going to do. You're not going to say, man, I did that, and I'm just telling you, I went to the mailbox every day, and there was letters with just checks rolling in every day, right? I mean, that's not what you're going to say. You're not going to say, man, I was sick, and all of a sudden, everything just went away. Can God heal you? Yes, and we pray he does, and we believe he can. But, you know, you're not going to come in and say, man, alive, I wouldn't want this truck. You know, most people, if we was in New York City, I might say Lambo or L.A., you know, but here I'm going to say, I want a new F-150, 250, Tennessee. All of a sudden, I started chasing God. Wow, that thing popped up. Man, I was able to get it. You're not going to tell me stuff like that, probably. Now, you might tell me there was healing that took place, you got a job, but that's not, my point is, you're not going to say life was easier, but here's what you're going to say. You're not even going to focus on how hard life was. You're going to focus on where you are with the Lord. You're going to focus on the purpose that you have. You're going to focus on the meaning in life that you have. That's what you're going to do when you chase God first. Because all of a sudden, all those things in life, it's just going to fall in place. You're going to have clarity when you step into the batter's box. And you're going to swing at pitches that weren't meant for you to swing at. That's what's going to happen, right? And so in the Cathedral of Milan, there are three arches that serve as the main entrance. Each of those arches has an inscription over it that's very meaningful. One of the arches has a wreath of beautiful roses, with the inscription, "All that pleases is but for a moment." One of the arches has a cross with the inscription, "All that troubles is but for a moment." And over the main arch, there is the inscription, "The only thing that matters is eternity." The only thing that matters is eternity. Folks, I think that's a beautiful picture, chiseled in stone, of what life should be about, that you need to remember. All that pleases is but for a moment. All that troubles is but for a moment. What really matters is eternity. And what really matters is you chasing the right thing. Man, we come in chasing so many things, and all that matters is that you chase the right thing. That is the kingdom of God, His rule and His reign in your life. You do that this year, and man, what a difference you will see. And how do you do that? What does this mean for us? So what does this mean for us today, right? I mean, it means that we can stop chasing what God has already promised to provide and chase His kingdom. And how do we do that? Well, first off, you know what I'm going to say. I mean, some of it's pretty obvious, and we're going to call you to an immediate application. And here are the immediate applications. One, man, you need to get in God's word. If you're not committed to God's word, if you're not in God's word, you need to get in God's word. Absolutely, getting in the word daily, there's nothing more powerful in spiritual development and changing your life, your mindset, your perspective than God's word. So you need to get in God's word. We have in our app and on our website, we have multiple Bible reading plans. We don't just recommend one because all you are different. You have different personalities, different needs. Some of you want a one-year Bible reading plan. Some of you want a two-year. I'm a two-year chronological reading plan. I mean, man, your minds, I'm ADHD, and so, man, I can't, you know, I'm sitting there, and I've got to do one that's tailored for me, because if not, then I'm sitting in my office having my quiet time, and I look out, and I see, you know, a squirrel or a blade of grass. I'm like, well, how'd that blade of grass get in that squirrel's mouth? You know, and I'm gone. And so, you know, I mean, there's all kind of Bible reading plans in our app and on our website. You need to get involved in one. You want a 1 year through the New Testament? It's there. You want a 1 year through the whole Bible? It's there. You want 2 years through the whole Bible? You want chronological? Man, you want a daily devotional that's written by Alistair Begg or you know, I mean, people, we've got it there. So get involved in a daily time with the Lord of prayer and Bible reading. And I promise that's the very first thing you do. Second, you need to be committed to the church. You need to be committed. 2026, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here to worship. Unless I am sick or unless I am out of town, I'm going to be in worship. I'm going to be with God's people. I'm going to be in a small group, a D group. I'm going to be in community, because you're going to have some curveballs that's going to come at you. You're going to have 90-mile-an-hour fastballs that's going to be aimed at your head. Some of them's going to hit. They're going to hurt. The only way you're going to make it through that is, man, you need God's people, the community of God's people. These are ways that you're going to grow that's going to ensure that you seek at the kingdom of God first. And then here's what we're going to do. You need to give all these things, right? It's in Matthew 6. But here's what we're going to do immediately, what we're calling you to today for the immediate. And we might do this every single year, the very first Sunday of the year. We're calling you to fast for the next 3 days. Now, some of you said, of all the Sundays I could be here, it was today. We're going to call you to fast after dinner tonight until dinner Wednesday night. That's 3 days. Okay? You can do this. And I'm going to call you to do it, and I want to help you to understand what we're not doing. We're not, you know, this is not a fast to try to lose those Christmas pounds, you know. Oh, the fruitcake and eggnog, that's not what we're doing. This is not to lose all the pounds. We don't fast to just try to lose weight. We don't fast to go on a hunger strike. That's not what the fasting is. It's not to go on a hunger strike so that you can get God's attention. No, no, no. Fasting is for spiritual purposes. Traditionally, in Scripture, fasting is doing away with food for a specific time for spiritual purposes, to gain clarity and to seek the will and the kingdom of God. And so that's what we're going to ask you to do. It's very, holds a prominent role. As a matter of fact, part of killing the flesh is in this chapter, and there are three things that he talks about that helps kill our flesh. prayer, giving, and fasting. And we do those, and he talks about that earlier in the text. We're calling you, obviously we want you to pray and to give, but we're calling you to fast. We want to fast together for the next 3 days. Now, we've done this throughout the history of our church, and God's done major things. We've called it a sacred gathering in the past. Right now, we're calling it Seek First, and we're going to do it a little differently. In the past, we've challenged you to fast from Sunday night to Wednesday night, and we meet together every night in order to pray and to worship and man, to see what God's doing. We're going to do it a little differently. Here's what we're doing. We're calling you to fast, to do without food. Now, everybody shouldn't do without food. Let me pause and say that, okay? There are some of you with medical reasons that you need to regulate your sugar and your electrolytes and things like that. If you're a diabetic, then doing away with food is not healthy or right for you. Now, listen, all of a sudden, a lot of you just got diabetes, I know. Or you think you might have it. Till you get it figured out, you probably shouldn't fast. I'm kidding, all right? But there are some of you that literally, you've got health reasons that you shouldn't fast, okay? From food. But I'm gonna be honest, in our screen-addicted world, there's some things that, you know, laying down some other things is probably more beneficial than laying down your breakfast burrito. I mean, like, listen, some of you probably need to get off your Netflix and Instagram and TikTok and all that kind of stuff and lay that stuff down, pause your Spotify, and God could do some great things in your mind and your heart if you lay some of those things down. So if you can fast from food, not liquids, but food, for the next 3 days, do so. You're going to get hungry. You know, that's the whole purpose of fasting, honestly. That's the whole purpose for a couple of reasons. You know what happens when you get hungry? Man, you get hungry, and here in America, we do it when we're not hungry, but you get hungry, and what does that do? It drives you to go get some nourishment for your body, doesn't it? That's what spiritual fasting is, spiritually. Man, it causes you to hunger for God, and it drives you to get some nourishment spiritually from the Lord. That's what fasting is. Fasting is to remind you that I am hungry, but God, more than I really want food, I want you. Because man should not live on bread alone, Jesus said himself. And so it's in that hunger. It's in denying ourselves some things that we're not good at in America, that we're not used to in America, that teaches us some things. It's in denying ourselves and pushing through that hunger and saying, God, I'm really, really, really hungry right now. God, I really am. And when I fast, I do that. I say, God, you know I'm hungry, and I want to eat. But God, I want you more than I want to eat. God, I want to know from you. I want clarity right now for my family and for my church. God, that's what I want more than I want food right now. I want you. And God, help me. And so we're going to ask you to do that for the next 3 days. And here's what we're going, some things that we have for you. We have some morning devotionals for you to do Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And where do you get those? If you're on our email list, they're going to pop up in your email today. They were written by our international campus pastors, Thai and Jordan in Brussels and Bangkok. We're doing this. They're doing it as well. We're doing this all LifePoint Global. And they wrote some devotionals, and they're going to one for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday that you can read. And tomorrow they'll be in your email. Now, if you're not on our email list, if you will email us, just email charity@lifept.org or charity.smith@lifepointchurch.org. She will get you those devotionals if you're not on our email address. Or fill out, hey, here's a better thing. That means you've probably not filled out that thing that Ken asked you to do. Zoom in on the bar, the QR code on top of the bars, and fill out that, and you'll be on our email address, and you'll get those devos in the mail or in your email, and you can do those. Your Bible reading plan. We want you to focus on your Bible reading plan. Right? And so we're not telling you, everybody go through the book of Acts for the next 3 days. We're just saying, whatever God leads you to, God wants to do something in you through that. So the important thing is get involved in your Bible reading plan for the next 3 days, whatever that is. So pick one. If you haven't done it yet, jump in tomorrow. That's great. Just jump in tomorrow. So Devo's Bible reading plan. Here's what we're going to do. You're not going to eat lunch tomorrow for those of you who are going to do food only. Or doing a food fast, you're not going to eat lunch tomorrow. We're going to send out from our campus pastors, one of our campus pastors will send out just a video, a short encouragement for you, basically saying, hey, you can do this. Hang on. You can do this. All right? We're in this together. That'll be around lunchtime. Tomorrow night, we've joined together at nighttime when we've done this, the sacred gathering. Well, it's not a sacred gathering, but here's what we're going to do. Monday night and Tuesday night, we're not joining together as a church, but we are still doing something together. We're going to do a video, and we're going to put it out tomorrow evening. And you can join online anywhere around, 5:30 or 6 o'clock. I don't know what time. Is it 6 o'clock? We're putting it on, Joe. Just at 6 o'clock, typically during your dinner time when you would be eating dinner. You want to do it at 6:30, do it at 6:30. It's going to be on demand, okay? So when you go on there, what it is, it's going to be a guided prayer time each night, Monday and Tuesday, just the next two nights. A guided prayer time online. You can get at your table, open your computer. You can put it on your screen, open up YouTube, our YouTube page, our website, our app, and you'll find it, and it'll be there, and it'll be guided prayer time for you and your family tomorrow night and Tuesday night, okay? And then on Wednesday night, we're joining together. We're coming together at 6:30 Wednesday night right here. Our Rutherford County, the Stewart's Creek campus, the Riverdale campus, this campus, joining right here at 6:30 on Wednesday night. Teenagers and adults, and man, we're going to worship and pray together. We're going to pray, and we're going to have some guided prayer time together. We're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for our church. We're going to pray for our families, our marriages. We're going to pray for 2026 that God will do things that will blow our mind, and so we want you to join us right here Wednesday night. After prayer and fast, we're going to break the fast with communion at the end, and then, man, tell you to go get some pizza or something. I wouldn't do pizza. You won't go to work on Wednesday or Thursday if you do. But, we'll break with communion, and then you can go get you something to eat, okay? So we'll join on Wednesday evening, everybody, Wednesday evening right here at 6:30. And then we also have a family digital fasting guide for kids. They're going to hand it to you. We got them outside. You can find that on our website. And then our teenagers, here's the cool thing. Our kids don't start back to school till Wednesday. So Monday and Tuesday, our students, our teenagers, are meeting right here at 9 a.m. Monday morning, tomorrow morning, and Tuesday morning for a student-led prayer time. Okay? So this is what's going on for the next 3 days. Why? To reorient us. Because it is when we begin chasing everything that our appetites get so out of focus, and this is to reorient our hunger for the King. And we will see what he does in your life, in your family's life, and in our church, and in our community, and in our state, and on and on and on. So that's what we're doing to help you seek first the kingdom of God. Do not please opt out of this. Do not opt out of this. I know you're thinking, man, don't opt out of this. If you're a believer, man, you need to seek first God's kingdom, and this is one of the tools that he's given us. Don't opt out. Join us. Eat dinner tonight. Pray together as a family. Start your fast. Get up tomorrow. Do your Bible reading. Look for our midday encouragement. Get online tomorrow night. Do the prayer time. Do the same thing Tuesday, the same thing Wednesday. Join us at 6:30 Wednesday, and, man, we're going to come hungry. And there's going to be some stomachs growling in here on Wednesday night. And it's going to be hungry, but there's going to be some stomachs growling, and there's going to be some souls that are full. Those stomachs empty, but the soul's going to be full. So join us this week. Do not opt out. If you don't know the Lord, you're thinking, these people are crazy. Well, come and join the crazy, okay? Come and join the crazy. We want you to know how to do that. So if you're watching online, if you'll text the word Jesus to the number on the screen, man, we'll get in touch with you, tell you how to find Jesus that would cause us to do this and how to seek his kingdom. And if you're in the room, come back and see us, okay? So Michael and our team's going to come out right now. You know what we're doing. I hope you know what we're doing. Also, throughout the day, the next two or three days, do your Bible reading plan, your devotional. Throughout the day, focus on the passage, Matthew 6. Focus on that throughout the day. I mean, just like, man, I need something. Focus on that. You're at lunch. You typically eat lunch. Man, pray. Focus on Matthew 6. See what God tells you and does in your life, okay? Michael's going to come, and here's how we're going to end our service today. We're going to end by singing a song that implores you to seek first the kingdom of God. Actually, we're going to sing that very word. That very line, seek first the kingdom of God. So Michael's going to come. Let's sing that. You've heard that. We've read that scripture. We've preached that. Let's sing that. Let's go out and then do that. Let me pray. Michael's going to lead us. Father, we love you. thank you for your amazing grace. God, I pray that we would seek you first. And God, some of us are still like, I don't even know what all that means, but I'm going to fast. And God, I pray that by Wednesday, you would bring so much clarity into people's minds about what you're doing in their lives and where you want them to go and what you want them to do. God, I pray that you would bless this church. Help this church to bless you. We love you. We praise you. Lord, help us to attack 2026 with passion and aggression, Lord, for your kingdom. Lord, help us to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. And Lord, thank you that you made a promise that you'll provide all of our needs so we can chase you with all our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, let's all stand. Let's